Hi, Judy. What's on your mind?
Hello. I have a couple of questions. One is regarding a lady that I know of that has come back with pre-diabetic markers in her testing. You've probably been already giving me some insight into this with your previous caller. She has been pretty much on a paleo kind of diet for a long time and is extremely thin, actually, and you know that she can't eat even less carbs because she's already too thin. I'm just wondering how that works with a type 2 diabetes tendency with someone who's eating nothing that, you know, that should be triggering the insulin.
Right. Well, I'm kind of wondering how old this lady is, ma'am.
I think she's about my age, so she's around 60.
Okay. Well, according to Mayo Clinic, 1932, 3,800 people. You've heard me carry on about this before, but hey, it's a prestigious outfit. They found that by the time we all get to be 60, 48% of the men and 52% of the women already had started gastropause. They didn't call it that. They called it a decline in the production of stomach acid, but I renamed it to make the point that it's like menopause, where the hormones kind of drop, and andropause, where a guy's testosterone kind of drops. Well, the gastropause is where the stomach acid has dropped. And the reason I'm going there, ma'am, is if we don't digest everything as well as we could, hey, we're not going to gain weight, and the paleo diet isn't going to do near as much good as it should, because that acid, which is made right along with pepsin by the stomach, is totally key to protein digestion, and the paleo diet's a high-protein diet. And so if we're not digesting as well as we should, the stuff that's the major feature in our diets, excuse me, it's not going to work the way it should. So anybody who is having that kind of a problem, namely, gee whiz golly, I need some carbs, but I can't have them because of the prediabetes, and I'm losing weight here on the paleo diet, I'm sorry, but that person needs to get their stomach checked and find out if they do have this decline. At age 60, again, Mayo Clinic data, 3,800 people, the odds are 52% for ladies, and that's a little tiny bit better than half, isn't it? So anyway, that needs to be checked, and if it is a problem, it needs to be handled. So is she working with a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine? I sure hope so.
I don't know. She's in Arizona, and I don't even know what the availability is down there. My question is, she's been doing this for a long time, and yet the markers are going up.
That's right, ma'am.
So the diabetic reaction will happen just because of the lack of actually absorbed nutrition?
Lack of digested / absorbed nutrition, yes, ma'am. Because the things that are in those those nutrients that we're not getting in the paleo diet help us to turn this around. Mm-hmm. So I can't say I'm surprised, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. Great. And my other question was about stomach acid, actually, for myself. As someone I know has talked about that fermented vegetables can improve take care of the problem with the lack of stomach acid, which I'm pretty sure I have. I haven't had the actual test, but I have my nutritional deficiencies would indicate it. And I'm just wondering what you know about the fermented vegetables and how well they can accommodate the stomach acid shortage.
They're not going to make up for it. If any of those fermented vegetables contain any whole proteins, which sounds rather unlikely because they're vegetables, but if they happen to, that won't get digested. So I'm sorry, we got to have that acid in there to do the job, ma'am.
Yeah, that's kind of made sense to me, and I just wanted to double check that. In listening, I heard a couple of other things that I would like to ask questions about, if that's all right. We've talked before about if you supplement with a B vitamin, you should also be taking a broad-spectrum B vitamin with it.
Yeah, they work like a team. We want the whole team. Yeah. You're right.
For myself, with testing I've had, I over-methylate. It's, you know, the gene mutations that are involved with that.
Sure.
And there's a form of the B12 that I can't really take, the methyl B12. And would I need to be careful about my B supplementation then?
Yes. However, you'll find that some of the B complexes do have methyl B12 and some don't. So
okay.
You've got to read that label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I'm supplementing with the right forms of B12 plus take a complex without the methyl B12, that would be good.
Yes, it would.
Okay, great. And at one point, I was taking some lithium. This is another topic for the brain. I was taking some low-dose lithium. The blood tests indicated it was getting too high rather quickly, and that may be also related to genetic mutations. I don't know.
No, ma'am. That is related to the fact that there is very, very little area of these United States where there's actually lithium in the water. Now, you can go to Lithia Park and attend the Shakespeare festivals down in Oregon, wherever that is. They got a park called Lithia Park. But there are so few areas in these United States where there's lithium in the water, and where do they get their, quote, normals from, unquote? They don't care whether there's lithium in the water. They just survey 3,000 to 4,000 adults how much lithium have they got, and that's normal. No, 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 no. Now, it is beyond any more argument that lithium at 5 or 10 or even 20 milligrams a day is not too much. Remember, when we are bipolar diagnosed, how much lithium are we taking? We're taking a total of 65 milligrams times 3. Lithium carbonate is a 300-milligram capsule, but lithium content is 65. So 65 times 3. We're close to 190 milligrams of lithium a day. Now, that can be dangerous. But if we stay at 20 or below, no one has yet reported a problem with it, ma'am.
Okay, great. Okay, well, that's all my questions today. So thank you very much for your wisdom.
Well, such as it is, ma'am. We all know a heck of a lot about very little. You know how that goes.
Right. Thank you.
Okay.